Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliani here again on another awesome Sunday night. And this is the Gift of Grace, where we read and teach God's Word, and we proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. So I hope you've all had an awesome week. We have just been going through the Pentecost season, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and we've done probably, I don't know, the last 3-4 weeks, maybe more, of programs talking about the outpouring of the Spirit, first in the Old Testament, and then, of course, in Pentecost, in the upper room on Pentecost morning, and how all the 120 people who were in that upper room were changed and empowered by the Holy Spirit when tongues of fire came down on them after they heard a mighty rushing wind. And you recall that each person had a tongue of fire over their head because each person got gifts from the Spirit. And Paul writes a beautiful chapter about the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where he talks about there's many gifts, but there's one Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit sovereignly gives to each person as he wills. In other words, the gifts that someone gets, the gifts that you get, the gifts that I get, the gifts that any of us get, are a sovereign decision by the Holy Spirit and don't really have input from us into which gift we should get, what we should do with that gift, and so forth. The gifts are sovereignly given as the Spirit wills. But so many more things than that are happening that we're going to take a couple of passages from 2 Corinthians. As you know, Paul wrote two letters to the Corinthians, two letters to the church at Corinth, and maybe one of these days we'll systematically go through 1 and 2 Corinthians, but that'll take some time, and the way time goes on this radio show, we probably wouldn't even get through the one chapter per week. But anyway, in his second letter to the Corinthians, Paul makes this fascinating point. Now, we should conclude, I mean, we should point out that in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost morning, Paul, Saul of Tarsus, the great Pharisee, the one who was more zealous for the law and more zealous for the traditions of the father, of the fathers than anyone, the one who was advancing in Judaism more than anyone else. He was not in that upper room, obviously, because we know that in times immediately after this, Saul of Tarsus, who I don't say later became St. Paul, because Paul was always his Roman name. Saul Shaul was his Hebrew name. But Saul / Paul, it's easier to just call him Paul. Saul persecuted the church. And even though he was not in that upper room, when he had his experience on the road to Damascus, in which Jesus spoke to him in a physical, audible way and led him into Damascus with the hand of one of his colleagues, because, of course, he was completely blind for 3 days, and then sent Ananias to physically heal him and baptize him. And he there was told that he was to be a chosen vessel to the Gentiles. He, of course, during this time was filled with the Holy Spirit as well. So even though he was not in the upper room, and we didn't see a transformation in that upper room like we did with Peter and the others, as the account in Acts chapter 2 tells us, Paul was clearly filled with the Holy Spirit, sent out to become a vessel to the Gentiles, a chosen vessel to the Gentiles. And this has always been such an important point in my mind, because this very strict, unbelievably intelligent, rigorous, scrupulous Pharisee who would not have ever spoken to a Gentile, let alone had any contact with a Gentile, and who followed the law of Moses so strictly and so scrupulously, becomes the apostle to the Gentiles and becomes the apostle of grace. It's really quite remarkable. And he is probably the best example of what happens when Jesus intervenes in someone's life, as hopefully he has in your life, and has filled you with the Holy Spirit, and you become a new creation, as Paul says in numerous places in his letters. But all this to say that we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 3. As you know, he wrote two letters to the Corinthians. The Corinthian church was a very complex church. They had all kinds of problems. He had to straighten out moral problems. He had to straighten out leadership problems. He had to straighten out ritual-type problems with Gentile pagans who had lived a totally different life than, of course, the Jews who lived in Corinth and went to the synagogue at Corinth. The leader of the synagogue became a believer. The leading citizen of the city became a believer. They met in the Corinthian pagan guy, former pagan guy's house. And it was a mixed church, to say the least. And they had all kinds of issues. And they required two letters. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to go to verse 3. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, the heart. Now, before I go on, I'm going to go on to do the next couple of verses as well, but here in verse 3, we have an interesting concept of, we remember that Pentecost was a feast that celebrated the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. And it also was a celebration of the wheat harvest. So evangelism begins that morning at a feast that celebrates the wheat harvest, which was a big harvest compared to the barley harvest that we talked about at First Fruits, which was Resurrection Day. But the harvest in the world begins to be brought in because now there are evangelists going out into the world to bring in that harvest. Jesus himself says the fields are white with the harvest, but the workers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send more workers. And this is the position that we're in today. There have probably never in the history of the world been fewer people that know Christ as there are today. And we are here as workers in the harvest. We are here as harvesters to go into those fields to bring in that big harvest, which now in our time is the end time harvest. At Paul's time, it was the initial harvest, the beginning harvest, the original harvest. We are now bringing in the end time harvest. And because Pentecost was a feast that celebrated the giving of the law, we know that that covenant, which was ushered in when the law came, Moses being the mediator of the old covenant, now gets shifted into the new covenant, which, of course, as you know, is a covenant of grace, because now the law is written not on tablets of stone, not on pieces of parchment, but it's written on the human heart. This goes back to Jeremiah 31:31. If you've not studied Jeremiah 31:31, please go back right now. Well, wait till the program's over. But please go back as soon as this program is over and read Jeremiah 31, verses 31 and following. So here Paul says, we are epistles. He's writing epistles to different churches. He's writing epistles that are directed to individual church communities. He also writes what are called pastoral epistles, which are applicable to the whole church, not just individual places. Those are called epistles from the Greek word for letters, and they were read as letters. But here Paul is saying that we are epistles. We are epistles because the epistles that we are not written with ink, but with the Spirit on our hearts, with the Spirit on our mind, with the Spirit on tablets of flesh. He contrasts that with the law given on Mount Sinai, where he says, the law, the epistles that we are not written on tablets of stone. They're written in flesh. That is our heart. And so Jeremiah 31 and following says, the law is written in our hearts, not on stone, not on parchment. And we don't have to ask, how do we know God? Because we know him. Just like when Jesus is at the Last Supper and he tells his guys, his disciples, that the world doesn't know the Holy Spirit, but you guys know him. Now, how do they know him? Because they have been with Jesus for 3 years. They have been in this earthly ministry all this time, listening to the teaching, seeing miracles, seeing healings, seeing people raised from the dead, seeing blind people cured, deaf people cured, lame people cured. These are all the things that are mentioned by the prophet Isaiah, especially in chapter 61, which are going to be evidences of Messiah's time. And so he says, these epistles are written in your flesh, not on stones, not on parchment. You know, if you've studied Torah, that many places God tells the people to write the law. Write it on stones. Write it on memorial stones. Write it in books and keep it where everybody can see it. Read the law. We're not going to go into all that. But now he says these epistles, these letters that you represent. A little bit later in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he didn't have chapters, but later on in what we have is Corinthians chapter 5, he says that we are ambassadors. We are ambassadors for Christ. Everywhere we go, we are an ambassador. We'll talk about that some other time. Here he's saying we are epistles. We're letters that are written on us because we're ambassadors for Christ. We represent him everywhere we go, and we take a letter about him everywhere that we go and to everyone that we encounter. Verse 4, and we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Ooh, what is he talking about here? He's talking about Paul and the others were ministers. Paul and the others, including us, are living epistles. Jesus is the author of the epistle. He writes that epistle not on tablets of stone, not on pieces of parchment, but in our hearts. And it's not written with ink, but it's written by the Spirit. So we become ministers of the new covenant. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter talks about how we are a nation of priests because we represent Jesus in everything that we do. Just like a priest stood as a mediator between the people and God, we are a nation of priests, a kingdom of priests, because we stand between Messiah and the people. We bring evangelization. We bring the good news to people. We are epistles, living epistles. So he's the author, but it's written on our hearts, not on stone tablets like the law was, but on our hearts. In Jeremiah 31, 33, which of course you're going to read for your homework when the program is over, in 31, 33, he says, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Now remember, when you studied Torah, that God said, you follow my law, I'm going to be your God, you're going to be my people. That's the covenant, that's the agreement, that's the covenant between us. But when the new covenant comes, I'm going to write that law on their hearts, and I'm going to be their God, and they're going to be my people. So just like in the Ark of the Covenant, there were tablets that had the Ten Commandments, the Ten Words, the Decalogue, written on them. Now, in the New Covenant, these things are written on our hearts. Ezekiel even prophesies this in chapter 36, verses 26 and 27. He says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart of your flesh and will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. So here's another prefigurement of when the new covenant comes, your heart is going to be changed. The spirit is going to be within us. He says, my spirit is going to be within you. And that's how you're going to walk. That's how you're going to minister. That's how you're going to be a kingdom of priests, a nation of priests. It's not from ourselves, as Paul points out. He says, it's not from ourselves. It's from God. We can't change our stony hearts. And the law cannot change your stony heart. The law has no remedy for your situation. No remedy. All the law does is condemn you because either you follow the law or you don't. When you follow the law, good. When you don't follow the law, there's condemnation. The law does not change your heart. But now, when the Spirit acts, when the Spirit is put in our heart, when the Spirit gives us a heart of flesh, and the Spirit lives within us, our hearts are changed. And that's done by grace. This is done, this is the result of the plan of salvation, which required the perfect sacrifice of Jesus, the Messiah, the shedding of his blood, his death on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, and after his suffering came his glorification, and as he told his apostles at the Last Supper, after he was glorified, the Spirit would come. And the Spirit would guide them in all truth. And the Spirit would remind them of everything he said. And so we see that as the plan of salvation unfolds, through grace, our hearts are changed. The law cannot change your heart. Should you try to follow the law? Yes, of course. The law is holy. Jesus himself said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Can we keep his commandments? No. Should we try to keep his commandments? Yes. But now through grace, our hearts are changed. And the scripture says, I'm going to cause you to walk in my statutes. It is a different covenant. And Paul says that he and the others are made ministers of this new covenant. And by extension, we are made ministers of this new covenant. So he points out that the law, he's talking about the law of Moses, the law brings condemnation. But the Spirit brings life. The Spirit brings life. So this is remarkable. Remarkable. Verse 6 of that passage says, to read it again because it's so important, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Now, he's not just talking about himself. He's talking about his associates. He's talking about the people that worked in various places with him. He's talking about the evangelists that were out preaching the gospel that weren't with him, that were in other parts of the world. And he's talking about us, even in the 21st century of the Christian era. We don't know Paul. We haven't worked with Paul. We're working in a totally different place than where Paul was living. But we're ministers of that covenant as well, because it says he has made us sufficient to do that. It's not of ourselves. He has made us sufficient to do that. He says, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. If our preaching was keep the law, keep the law, keep the law. If you don't keep the law, you'll be condemned. If you don't keep the law, you'll be condemned. That's not good news, because none of us will keep the law. We'll all be condemned. But what's good news is that now there is grace. There is forgiveness through repentance, through the blood of Jesus on the cross. And so that's written on our hearts by the Spirit. So it's not from ourselves, he says. It's from God. It's through grace. They proclaimed the word with power and signs and wonders. And Paul and his associates explained to people how they would obtain eternal life by listening to him, by coming to faith in the Messiah. He confronted false teachers. Paul didn't preach, go and keep the law, go and follow the law. Here's the law of Moses. If you want to be a follower of Jesus, you have to follow the law of Moses, and then you can come back, and then we'll talk about following Jesus. But first, you have to get into the covenant of law. No. If you read Galatians, you see how he handles this problem with the people that are generally called the Judaizers. And Jesus himself mentions these people in the first 2-3 chapters of Revelation. The Judaizers were Jews who told the new Gentile believers that they had to follow the law of Moses before they could follow the Messiah. And Paul confronts these people as false teachers. They are disheartening and discouraging the people who are new believers in the Messiah. But his point is that we are not only ambassadors, but we're actually letters. We're actually epistles that Jesus has written on our hearts that we then go into the world to present to the people around us so that they, quote, read, unquote, these letters, these epistles, and they understand the plan of salvation, and they understand how they can have eternal life, and they understand how we have been liberated from a slavery to sin. We have been liberated from a slavery to the law, and we've been liberated from a slavery to the flesh. And these epistles that tell everyone around us that are generally seen by the way, not only that we live our lives, but in what we proclaim as being the gospel. Oh, I know the music's been playing. I can't believe it's already out of time. Join us next week, and I guess we're going to have to finish this lesson. Have an awesome week.